Having a written legal will is important. But more than half of Aussie adults don't have one. Vision has entered into a partnership with SafeWill, a leading online will writing platform to provide you with an easier and more affordable way to write or update your will. As part of the Vision family, we want you to know about a way that you can write your will for free. Start the process now and complete it at no cost during Leave a Legacy Week from March 3rd. See all the details at vision.org.au/legacy. A biblical perspective on life, culture, and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
Well, as I say, last weekend, the US Vice President J.D. Vance delivered a speech to the Munich Security Conference, and it seems to have taken European leaders by surprise that he used the speech to unleash a scalding attack on European democracies. He said the greatest threat facing the continent was not from Russia and China, but from within. Well, Christian commentator David Robertson has been following the fallout. He's a writer for newspapers, magazines. He's the author of a number of books, including The Dawkins Letters and Engaging the Atheists. And he's back with us. Hey, David, welcome back to 2020.
Yeah, nice to be with you. I'm also, in my day job, I'm pastor of Scotskirk in Hamilton as well. So I'm sitting here right now just reflecting on all of this, because it does impact. I actually think it impacts us, not just Europe. I think it's, as you've already indicated, you're going to be discussing this week or today, you know, the effect on the West. And I think this is one of the most significant speeches that's been made in a Western democracy for a couple of decades.
Well, wonderful to be able to put a spotlight on some of the elements of a speech like that. He told those European leaders the greatest threat was coming from within. What did you make of the speech overall?
Well, I thought the speech was brilliant. I thought it was, I thought it was incredible. Like, as I listened to it, I just couldn't believe anything that was going on. You know, it was just extraordinary. I think that threat within, I would say the same about the church. The greatest threat the church ever faces is from within. I would say the same for a family. A family largely disintegrates from within. It's not the external threats that are a major thing. And I think that was absolutely spot on. But his main emphasis was how Europe was rejecting, in effect, its Christian values from the past, and especially the idea of free speech and the idea of listening to your electorate. But both those things were pretty predominant. And it was breathtaking. He's speaking to all these elites, and, you know, they started off by welcoming, and by the end they were pretty stony-faced, particularly given the context in which it was taking place in Germany.
Just to pause along the way in this conversation, lots more to say, but when we talk about the family and what happens within, and oftentimes as Christians we're talking about the inner world, the things that are going on in our minds, the things that are shaping our own hearts. There's something happening individually here in each of us too, which we need to be a little cautious about with all of the changes that are going on around the world right now. Have you got any, just a moment just to reflect for us, David, on how we might just be thinking about ordering our inner world so that there's some protection for our families and our communities?
Yeah, well, okay. So the inner stuff, that's absolutely, I mean, I actually believe that also applies to countries and politically as well, that, you know, without vision, the people perish. And I would say for us, the most important thing, it's funny because Vance got in trouble for talking about the Ordo Amoris at another point when he was talking about the order of love. And I think our first love has to be for God, for his word, and so on. And then our second love is, if you like, for ourselves and our families. And then we reach out to our communities and so on. And then we of course, we reach out to the rest of the world. But all of us have a particular priority. And I think in that regard, internally, the first thing I need to do is ask, what's my relationship with the Lord like? Because from that, then comes my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my children and grandchildren, my relationship with my congregation, my relationship with the people around us, my relationship with the culture and community in which I live, and my relationship, you know, with the rest of the world. So all of the center of it must be, you know, our heart, if you like, and basically the Lord puts it this way, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the center.
Wonderful. And aligned values are important. A scattergun approach is going to lead to all sorts of chaos. Hey, of course, the Ukraine war was mentioned in the speech. Vance saying he hoped that there'd be a reasonable settlement. But interesting developments even today in the headlines. And just to have a little bit of a reflection on this today, Volodymyr Zelensky in Ukraine has accused the US president of living in a Russian disinformation space. Amazing how much ground can be covered in just almost a week since that speech. But then Donald Trump has then fought back with another comment saying Volodymyr Zelensky is a dictator who's doing a terrible job. The Ukraine war with Russia, this is very much central, but there's now a war of words going on. Any reflection on that in light of the speech?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm going with the Psalms, don't trust in politicians. My view is that this war has been unnecessary for at least a couple of years. Hundreds of thousands have died unnecessarily. I don't think that Zelensky is a dictator, and I think Trump was wrong to blame Ukraine for starting the war. I don't think they did at all. I think Russia invaded and should be condemned for that. But the reality of the situation is Russia's not going to leave. The West is not going to go to war with Russia. And continuing this war is insane. It should be stopped immediately. It's almost like North Korea and South Korea with a demilitarized zone. I can see all of that happening. Trump does his usual. He uses hyperbole and says things. But actually, Zelensky's the same. Disinformation and misinformation is a weapon of war, and that tends to happen on all sides. I think the whole scene is a disaster, and the quicker it ends, the better. Although I do have enormous concerns that, well, I don't know. I said to my wife the other day that since Trump got elected, I'm less fearful of a world war than I was. I'm not saying the chances of that have gone completely away, but I think it's much less likely. Although I also think that it will see the injustice of Putin. He will retain most of what he's got in Ukraine. The irony is that 2 years ago, there was a peace proposal that said precisely that, and which the Ukrainians seemed inclined to take, but it was the West, particularly Boris Johnson in the UK, and the Americans, who persuaded him not to. And with a series of assurances and promises, which I think have turned out to be false. The British Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, has just said that, oh, we'll send British troops. We haven't got any British troops. We've got 56,000 British troops. Zelensky says it needs 200,000 at least. And of those 56,000, Britain could maybe send 1,000. You know, and Brits don't even... Here's one of the decline in the West, which is Vance is right. 90% of Gen X Brits, or the Gen Z Brits, said that they wouldn't fight for their country. They're certainly not going to go and fight for Ukraine. So, you know, the whole thing is just an absolute mess. And the two politicians, I'm not impressed with either of them.
Okay. Coming back to the speech, Vance's speech to those European leaders, and getting a focus on what we would understand as culture war issues, and telling those European leaders issues around suppressing free speech. He blamed the continent for mass migration, and he accused its leaders of retreating from some of their most fundamental values. Some of these things are fairly obvious, and really he's just stating the obvious, isn't he?
Yes, I thought he was. I mean, there was one particular thing where the government in Scotland were mad about and accused him of lying, where in one short paragraph he talked about how in Scotland it had gone so far that even praying in private homes could be penalised. And they vehemently denied this. But actually, I've just written an article which should go on the Christian website, Christian Today, either today or tomorrow. And basically showing that what Vance said was actually correct. And he seemed to be very, very well informed, because what's happened in Scotland is they've put a buffer zone around abortion clinics of 200 metres. Even if you're standing praying silently, you can be arrested for that. The Scottish government sent a letter to all homes within that 200 metre zones saying, even if you did it in your own home, you could be prosecuted. Now, obviously, if you do it behind curtains and stuff, no one's going to know. But if, let's say, you posted on the internet that you were praying concerning abortion or whatever near an abortion clinic in your own home, you could be prosecuted. So Vance was actually correct. And the authoritarianism in this is, it's always behind, we're trying to prevent harm. And that's always the excuse that's used, because everyone wants to prevent harm. Or here in Australia, we've got new hate speech laws coming in. But there are people who could say that what I'm saying just now is hate speech and it should be banned, because, you know, it upsets people or whatever. That, to me, is, he was so spot on in that. His main issue was the question of free speech, and also the ability to question what happens when you bring in numerous different cultures into a Western culture where some of those cultures do not accept the Western culture. I think that's a legitimate point.
Yes, and to just reflect for a moment, that whenever there is a claim made, then there obviously is a response. And you mentioned the Scottish government, and they responded to those comments and said, well, they're not true. From what I can ascertain, they say that the law was carefully drafted to capture only intentional or reckless behaviour. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that whenever there are laws that will curtail free speech, there's always much wider ramifications. Any thoughts there? Because there's a lot of governments legislating a lot of things, trying to control what might be, intentional and reckless behaviour, but then it has much, much wider ramification than that.
Yeah, well, the intentional or reckless, I mean, that's an extraordinary thing to say, and I can tell you why. I'm just looking, I've got a quote from the article itself where, I've written about this before. I knew quite well about it. So the idea of being intentional, they say that if you are praying intentionally, or you're intending to change someone's viewpoint. You know, in fact, there was a similar instance where a politician in Scotland said, my view is that, speaking of Franklin Graham, actually, an event should be cancelled because I thought it's not just the expressions of the views, but this could be real life consequences. And I'm a preacher. I want to change people's lives. That's kind of the point. You know, I'm somebody who, of course I pray with intent. So you have to be really, really careful when you look at these words, because the words are meaningless. They're saying, oh, you're intending to change someone's point of view. Well, yeah, I would really prefer you didn't go and harm yourself or your baby. Yeah, and I want to do that, and I'll pray about that. Now, I don't think it's right to harass people, you know, and I wouldn't do that. And, other people don't think it's right to stand outside an abortion clinic, but some think it is. And I think they should have the freedom to do it.
And you and I will say it's not reckless behaviour to actually draw attention to or be prayerful about issues around abortion clinics. And we know that here in Australia we've got these 150-metre, or is it 50-metre, exclusion zones around abortion clinics. But to reflect on that, just praying silently within that zone, and that Scotsman, one of your countrymen, being arrested on those grounds. Hey, there was other things too. There's an election coming up in Germany fairly soon, and there was some issues that he touched on around creating what they call a so-called firewall of non-cooperation with the far-right alternative for Germany's, the AfD party. Of course, Germany reflects back to World War II and the Nazis, but far right seems to capture an awful lot of people who have conservative values these days. Any thoughts here about those views?
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, here in Australia, the Family Party, some people would say, oh, they're far right, or, you know, you'd say, I mean, basically everyone gets called far right. Now, there's no question at all that there are some extremists within the AFD. But actually, what other people are missing out on is that the analogy here is not so much with the Nazis back in the 1930s, but it's more with the Stasi post-World War, right up to the falling of the Berlin Wall. And it seems to me that the methods of the German police at the moment are reflecting the Stasi. So I know somebody here in Australia who asked for a friend in Germany to send them something that the AFD had published. It's a legitimate political party. And the friend refused on the grounds that even sending it in a private email could result in the police coming to his door. Now, that's what Vance was referring to. Vance was saying you basically have to trust your electorate, stop demonizing, stop calling people racist, listen to their concerns. The German election is this Sunday. It is estimated, it's reckoned that around 20% of people will actually vote for the AFD. That is a massive number. It will make them the second biggest party. And I think it is very, very, very foolish to just dismiss that. I wouldn't, you know, there are people I would strongly disagree with. I wouldn't dismiss them. I'm not a big fan of the Green Party here, but if they get a significant amount of the vote, then people should listen to what they're saying, because that represents, in a democracy, a significant proportion of the population. And you should argue against people, not demonize them and not exclude them.
And we all have a responsibility to be able to be across some of these things, even if it's at a basic level, so you can make sense of these. And really, just a few minutes remaining for our conversation, but we do like to reflect on some biblical foundations for how we might filter the massive information that we have access to and apply our Christian worldview, our Christian ethics, to what we believe in all of that. Any thoughts from you as we close this part of our conversation?
Sure. Maybe before I do that, I should actually inform you. I didn't inform you of this. I don't think I did anyway, that you're going to be stuck with me for a while because I've just been granted permanent residency here.
Yes, so. You did say that, and I did congratulate you. And let me say that publicly.
Right, okay.
Congratulations. Yes.
I was thinking about that, and I just thought, yeah. I mean, look, what I would say is this. I might speak confidently about some of these things, but I don't really know. You know, there's so many things going on. We don't really know. And so my reflection biblically would be this. If they speak not according to the word, you know, Jeremiah, then we don't have to listen in that regard. And I would say we need to learn to read the culture through the word of God rather than reading the word of God through the culture. Now, I've said that before. I'll say it many times because I think it's absolutely vital. And I think that stops us making politics our religion. We get so wound up with it. It stops us being so black and white about absolutely everything. It enables us to have a certain degree of humility because we're limited in our knowledge. And I think it also refocuses us, if you like, to focus on Christ. I recently went to one of these, I'll not name the store, but people will guess it, one of these camera stores, or, you know, I'm just going to say iPhone, so that gives it away, but store, and they're teaching me how to use the camera. And there's a focus button that you can focus on the thing in the center. And I loved that. And I thought, you know, we need to focus on the thing in the center, and that's Christ. And everything else comes from that.
Yes, something special about God being transcendent puts his kingdom above all the kingdoms of this world. And he's the one we look to be able to be the lens by which we might interpret what all of these other kingdoms are doing. Hey, always just great getting your insights, David Robertson. David writes for newspapers and magazines. He's the author of a number of books, The Dawkins Letters and Engaging with Atheists. He mentioned he's the minister at Scotts Kirk Presbyterian Church in Newcastle in New South Wales. He has an insightful blog, and he's been writing about these sorts of things. You can check out theweflee.com. His latest book is called Seek, and he's about to have that article published in Christian Today. Pardon me. Dave, thanks so much for your insights today on 2020.
Privilege being with you as always, Neil. God bless, mate.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.